My special guest in the studio tonight studied at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music and has studied under a wide cross-section of artists such as Arthur Hubbard, Mark Murphy and Steve Turre. He's performed at jazz festivals all over the world as a jazz vocalist and trombonist and has toured his big band to Brazil and is about to take them to Cuba. He's released numerous albums as a leader, his most recent, which we just heard, Through Her Eyes, a dedication to his mum, with profits going to research into macular degeneration. Dan Barnett, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Nice to see you.
Dan, you've released two albums now dedicated to each of your parents. They obviously had incredible musical influences on you. Can you tell us a little bit about both of them? Your dad had success in the US with Pat Caplice's band. Obviously, both of them are quite dear to you.
They are, and the influences are quite, in some ways, quite different, because Dad was a professional musician, so I got to see all that side of it. There was musicians always at the house, and so, you know, that side of it, the encouragement of music and playing, we got to play a lot together. But my mum used to take me to gigs, so Dad was always out working, so she would take me to go and see the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, or go, or even locally go and see the Willoughby Symphony Orchestra, because mum had some friends in the orchestra. I would also go to the theatre. So I spent a lot of time as a kid with my mum going to gigs, because I was her, like, her partner, you know. Dad was always out at gigs. So
that's a great balance, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I know like they had quite different tastes too. Mum sort of, she was into like people like John McCormack, you know, the great Irish singer, and she loved, you know, crooners and all that sort of stuff. And actually, the first time I heard Sarah Vaughan, mum would took me to the concert at the Sydney Opera House, which blew my mind. That was the night I decided I'm going to sing. It was just, and then
Did she sing Send in the Clowns?
She did. She sat at the piano and just did it solo. It was, and that song is not one of the songs, I actually was never that fond of that song, but now every time I hear that song, I just go, Sarah Vaughan. Mm.
It's hers, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, man, yeah. Totally, yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing, that making a song your own, you know, that was a beautiful thing about her. So I got to see a lot of amazing gigs through my mum, not so much through my dad, which is incredible. I got to go and play a lot of amazing music with him and sit in with him and meet a lot of the, I guess, a lot of the older musicians. Or, well, they were older to me at the time anyway. I don't know about now.
Well, I hear influences in your vocal style from Mark Murphy, even Joe Lane.
Yep.
But what about your trombone playing? Who do you consider to be your main trombone influence?
Oh, dude, that's really tricky. There's several people I've gravitated towards, I guess you'd say. Steve Turre being one, which I was lucky enough to go and study with him a little bit in the States. There's a trombone player, and it's not a mistake, I'm saying Dan Barrett.
That's right.
And he's also become a great friend of mine, and he was one of the first guys to talk to me about playing the plunger, and I really love that sound of the plunger. And he was staying out here with Tom Baker, so I went out, and I knew Tom, so I went over and had a plunger lesson with him. And then since we've been on the same festivals, we were on the same festival, I think it was last year in Europe, so we got to catch up and we did some stuff together. And yeah, so there's a whole raft of, you know, amazing players that I've checked out over the years. I guess JJ Johnson and Curtis Waller, but people like Jack Teagarden, you know, really important, Trummy Young, because I've gotten to play all sorts of styles of music, you know, over my years. I mean, I started off playing ska music, so Rico Rodriguez and Don Drummond were guys I loved too. I just love the sound of the trombone.
Yeah,
I think that's what I was attracted to.
Well, my father always says that Dan Barnett can do anything.
That's very nice.
He's a big fan. Your latest album, Through Her Eyes, now this was recorded at Monica Trappiger's home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us how that all came about.
Well, Monica's a great friend of mine, and we used to go and have dinner parties. We were always hanging out, and when Joan, my mum, died, I sort of thought, I've got to do, similar to my dad, I've got to do something positive. And my parents' best friend, Cyril Bevan, the drummer on the CD, he happened to be out in Australia at the time. He said, oh, this is going to be my last visit, although he's just been here again. But he said, and I said, right, let's do something. So I got all the guys that mum loved. You know, Craig Scott, who was actually a former student of my dad's, and Craig's mum and my mum were great friends. There's a whole, you know, guys like Chuck Morgan, who I've had he's kind of a mentor to me, as is Paul Furness, those sorts of people. They're all friends of mum's and dad's. So we just got into Monica's house one day, set up a whole lot of microphones, which Ross Ahern did, the great engineer, here in Sydney, and in her beautiful house, this gorgeous house in Glebe. and set up microphones, and I got the piano tuned, and we just played tunes all day, and people came in and out. George Washing Machine pops in for a few tunes. Billy Burton pops in for a few tunes. Paul Furness pops in for a few tunes. Some I do with just a quartet. So it was just a day of like joy, really. We just shared music, ate some food, told great stories and had a lovely time.
What a great idea.
Yeah, actually, it's for me, it was quite, as well as being a cathartic process, it was just a nice thing to be able to, and made me realise that that's maybe the way forward. If you're going to do something like that, maybe record live. Like, I've got another live thing coming out soon, which I think that's a nice, and it captures, you know, a moment in time. Mm. And you can hear the joy. We all love playing together anyway.
Yeah.
All the guys in the CDs.
Well, so the atmosphere sort of comes through tangible on the recording.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know, there's always, going to be a few rough edges because we didn't really talk about anything. We said, let's play that tune. It'd be great. Let's do it. Mm. So there might be, why don't you take a little intro here? And the guys will go, oh, let's do this, and, you know, eight bars, or that would be about it. And they wouldn't, half the time, we wouldn't know how we're going to end it. But we've played together so much now over the years that you can kind of read people's bodies, you know, signals and all that sort of things. Those guys are so amazing. They can do anything, you know.
Now, for the people that are listening that may not be into jazz, your voice is heard quite a bit on television, isn't it, from time to time?
Various ads.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about, you know, because some people might actually recognise your voice.
I've sung on quite a few jingles over the years and obviously played on some too. I guess the most recent one I did was, it's a little while ago, the most recent one that was played here is that It's Got to Be Perfect, the one for the European boat cruises or whatever it is.
Oh, that's right. It's got to be, the river boats.
Which I'd love to do. I've never done that in Europe. I've been to Europe so many times and I've never done that. But, that's a lot of people. I remember Emma Pass, you know, she's a great friend of mine. She said to me, as soon as I did it, she sent me a text message and she goes, that's you, isn't it? I went, yeah, it is. I mean, I can recognise her too. We know each other's voices so well. I guess that's what I do.
Yeah.
I listen to music and I teach music and I play and we know each other, especially in the Sydney scene. Yeah, so it's, I've done quite a few things over the years. It's really fun.
The conch shells, I first heard the conch shells in New Orleans back in 96.
Did you see Steve?
Was that what got you onto them as well?
It would have been Steve. I remember I was travelling. Yeah, it was probably in the 90s I was travelling and I remember discovering Steve Turay, his first album, Fire and Ice, and I got it and I thought, what's that sound? And then I realised that it's a sound I'd heard before. I mean, we're surrounded by water here, you know, and it's a sound that you can hear it in the South Pacific. And then I realised that, you know, he's got Mexican heritage. He grew up on the Pacific Ocean, so he kind of knows the vibe. He now lives in New York, of course, but that's...
And it's a matter of finding the right size shells, isn't it?
You've got to find the right shells that haven't got any pitting in them, so haven't got any holes in them, otherwise they sound all airy. Mm. And then you've got to doctor them. So you have to cut part of the end off. And I've sort of developed a way with my brother, who's actually a panel beater and a mechanic, but he helped me develop a way which to make it just like a mouthpiece of the trombone. So, and Steve, I was talking to Steve about it, he's like, oh, wow, you did that. So I showed him some stuff, but... Steve Turay and I are in contact, so we've been talking a bit about that sort of stuff. One day we're going to record together. I've already asked him and I said, we're going to do it. And he said, I'd love to. He's a great guy. The lesson I had with him, I had a very long, an all day, it was like a life lesson, which had a little bit of trombone in it too. But it was amazing. He's an amazing human being, actually. Yeah. He's he's a great shell player. His shell album, Sanctified Shells, that's the benchmark for shell playing, as far as I'm concerned. It's amazing, and amazing writing for it too. And it's an unusual thing, you know. People go, it's a gimmick. And you go, well, if it's done correctly, I get why people say it's a gimmick, but you can actually play music on it. And the sound of it's very unique. Yeah.
Well, it's just primitive.
Yeah, that's right.
We might see it as a gimmick because it's, you know, it's technically a shell.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
But
it's, you know, one of the earliest forms of long distance communication. It's the first mobile phone, something like that. I don't know. You know, it's a little bit louder than shouting.
Yeah. Well, so it's not really any different to a wooden drum.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, it's that's that sort of thing. So getting a message across is, you know, what's been done here for thousands of years.
Having listened to your own radio program on our sister station, I know you've got a broad range of musical interests. So are you conscious of how other jazz genres, so to speak, inform your own music and your own playing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had Alistair Spence in today, and there's a lot of experimental things going on in his music, but I was listening to it and I immediately said to him, the energy on this recording is amazing. And that was what I initially went, I'd latched onto. So when as far as it comes to my music, I've listened to so many different things. I listen to, yes, a lot of jazz, but there's certain pop artists I really love too, and I love classical music, and I love blues and reggae, so I'm into everything. Mm. And I think that's definitely affected how I approach music. I think music for me is more of just, a big handshake and a big hug. If it doesn't feel right, it's not worth playing. So, and that's kind of the way I teach music too. I think, you've got to get a heartfelt thing across to it.
And
people.
When you're performing too, you're having fun on stage.
Absolutely.
You're always having fun and people notice that So, I mean, that goes hand in hand with your music, doesn't it?
Yeah, music's a hard game to be in. So if you're not going to have fun, don't do it. And that's another thing I say to kids when I teach them or, other musicians. I have on occasion said to people in the band, are you having a good time, mate? Because someone doesn't, and they go, oh, no, I'm not. Well, so why do you do this? Because I know why I do it, and it's because I love it, and I'm trying to communicate and connect with people, and that's what music's all about, And it doesn't it doesn't have to be straight ahead swinging jazz, which is what this is, which is what my mum liked. It can be like Alistair's music or anybody's music, can be completely experimental. If you can make some sort of connection, that's,
that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Well, that's what humanity's about. Music's part of humanity.
Yeah.
It's what makes us human, right?
One last tricky question for you, Dan. And if you could change one thing about the Sydney jazz scene, what would that be?
Oh, that's a... How long have I got to answer that? what would I change? Look, I wouldn't change the musicians. I know that much because we've got such amazing musicians in this town. I would like to see a bit more appreciation from the higher powers, which would... obviously get rid of things like the lockout laws, the poker machines, all those sorts of things would really help. People need to know that art's there to be appreciated. I'm not just talking about music, I'm talking art in general. That's why I'm going back to Cuba, because it's all about art. They've got nothing else but art. I think, it would just be the powers would be good. And music for music's sake, or art for art's sake, that song was a very valid song, because you go, that's what the Northern Europeans do, and that's why they're thriving. There'll be a project where there's no one in the audience, but they've gone, we put money into that because we know that that's going to come good somewhere else. It doesn't have to be with this project, but it's somewhere else. And I get that being a performer and being an artist. But, I think there needs to be a bit of that. Just go, art, I'm not talking about us sitting on our backsides and being bludgers. Mm. I'm talking about, here's some money, go and do something with it. The French do it.
Yes.
And the Dutch do it a bit, and the Belgians do it. I think we could do that a bit more. A bit more of a hand would be good.
A lot of this money, whether it's corporate or taxpayer money, is going to the big names that are coming, they're being imported into Australia rather than our own artists.
Yeah, well, there's some, and certain festivals, you look at it and you go, what about some local guys on this festival? We've got world-class local guys, which is what's great about, say, the Women's Jazz Festival coming up, or Wangaratta, or they put on some internationals, they'll put on some locals, and then they'll put locals on with internationals, like they are doing at this at the Women's Jazz Festival, which is a great idea, because they're walking away from here going, wow, these guys can really play. And having travelled overseas so much, that people appreciate, and we've got our own way of playing, a certain Australian way of playing music, which is really very unique, and we might not think we do, but we do, especially when you hear all the guys from all around the world and you go, wow, we really do have something different.
Dan, great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me.